next guest is one of the absolute most profound guests we have on. We have him on semi-regularly, and he is extremely intelligent, extremely profound, provocative. I consider him a friend. I mean, talking to him off air is even cooler than talking to him on air, and you can't say that about just everybody. He's my wife's favorite guest. I mean, literally, my wife, I promise you, my wife doesn't listen to the show every day. I promise you my wife is listening right now. Daniel Esslin from DanielEsslin.com, a conceptual intellect of the highest proportion. Daniel, welcome back to the Power Hour.
It's wonderful to be back. Thanks so much. We're back from Mexico. Let's see how long we actually stay here. This is insane. We left Canada in March, literally 2 days before they shut the entire country down. Just to give you an idea, a kilo of beef cost $17 6 months ago. It's now $70 a kilo. Now, a kilo is 2.2 pounds. So you're looking at about 70 Canadian dollars, which is about $50 U.S. Well, this is called inflation. This is what the new world looks like. Hungry, hungry, hungry people all over the place.
What did you just say? What kind of meat? Are we talking like filet mignon, or what are we talking about here?
We're talking about just a, you know, normal kind of a moo kind of meat. Anything that goes moo right now is $70 a kilo.
Well, I think that's important, and it kind of relates to this story in a roundabout way. But yesterday, let's put it this way. For decades, shows like this, you've been saying for quite a long time, the Fed will print. I don't care what they say. They will print. They will never stop until the car runs out of gas. They have no other option. We were called crazy for saying that. And now yesterday, Jerome Powell, announces new Fed approach to inflation that could keep rates lower for longer. They're selling it like it's nice or something. What have we just seen the Fed admit to yesterday?
Well, what we've seen is what, you know, you and I have been talking about for, I'd say about 2 years, but this thing is very old. If you kind of look at the United States over the past 50 years, Daniel, 50 years later, the United States economy, what do we have? It's in a permanently low productive, cheap labor, part-time slash temporary slash self-employment morass, sometimes repugnantly called the new normal. So the low and declining real wages and household income now dominate the economic and social reality of the United States. Entire once productive sections of the economic platform of the continent have been destroyed. For example, the steel centers in Monterrey, Mexico, and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. A lot of people have written in lately because we've done several webinars in English and Spanish. We have a lot of Hispanic people who actually live in Pittsburgh, and they say, yeah, absolutely, it's just been decimated. There's nothing to do. It's, you know, it's, there's no work. So North America rail grid is absolutely dysfunctional. That said, you know, you have to understand that the system, a system, if you look at it from a point of view of systemic analysis, can only work in favor of the financial speculators, and these are the people behind Hillary Clinton, behind the Soros, the Obamas, the Gateses. You know, these are the speculators, the Wall Street crowd, the you know, the liberal banking financiers that we famously discussed for so many, you know, so many different times. And the only way, again, that this thing can work in their favor, if they control the emission of the U.S. dollar. In other words, what does it mean? The little machine that prints money. But the difficulty was that the Bretton Woods system, which is a system which was put back in place at the end of World War II, in 1944, the reform itself, it was not completed in 1944 because the World Currency Issuing Center, which is the Federal Reserve of the United States, it remained under the control of the U.S. national elite under their jurisdiction. And in 2011, and I talk about it in my book on Donald Trump and the shadows of the presidency, and I discuss it even at greater length in my new book, which is coming out in October in the United States. So in 2011, an attempt was made to create this supranational emission center. Let's call it Central Bank of Central Banks, which was supposed to set emission limits for all national central central banks, including the Federal Reserve. And this was discussed between the global or European elitists and bureaucrats and the United States elitist bureaucrats who are globalists. And the whole thing was ironed out and discussed and signed amongst them. And the only thing that they needed to do was to have President Barack Obama sign off on this thing. But Obama decided for the first time, actually, I think the only time, to play in the interest of the United States, and he didn't sign it. And we know that because if you remember, the attempt was made by these people, and it was repulsed by the Obama's administration. How? In the Dominique Strauss-Kahn case. Okay, we talked about this on your show. And it became clear that the global banking financiers, the central bank of central banks, was not going to get control of the United States Federal Reserve because, again, they control the European Central Bank, they control the International Monetary Fund, they control the World Bank, they control the Federal Reserve. But what they wanted to do is turn this, okay, into this, again, the emission center for the global elite. And that didn't work because they arrested the general director of International Monetary Fund, Dominique Strauss-Kahn. Do you remember the case when he was allegedly, you know, he was assaulted or raped some lady of whatever her name was, wherever she was from, in a New York hotel? Now, the second round took place in 2016 when the financiers...
Hey, Daniel, let me pause you. Let's pause. Go back before you go to 2016. Why didn't Obama sign it? I mean, he gave away the internet. Why didn't he give away the control of this?
Well, it's a good question because, you know, again, it's a very good question. When I explain to people that Donald Trump is the continuation of Barack Obama's second-term economic policy, people go absolutely insane. First of all, they say Obama is not Trump. Then they say, well, you're saying that Obama and Trump are the same team? So the people who are pro-Trump and anti-Obama saying, this is insane. And the people who are anti-Trump and pro-Obama saying, this is insane. But it's actually quite simple. If you remember, again, 2008, Obama is elected president of the United States. 2011, an attempt is made to get the control of the U.S. printing center under the jurisdiction of the Bank of International Settlement, which is the Central Bank of Central Banks in Basel, Switzerland. That fails when Obama, you know, does the whole Dominique Strauss-Kahn thing. Then in 2012, he's elected again, and the first thing he does is, for the first time since Reaganomics in 1981, he eliminates from his Economic Council all the globalists. In other words, all the people, you know, the Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgans, for the first time since 1981. And then in 2014, we have... he stops quantitative easing, and in 2016 we have Donald Trump. Okay, this is why the economic policy, I'm not talking about Obama, his economic policy, the second term, and Donald Trump is the continuation of that. So to go back to what I was saying before, the second round, so the globalists, for the first time, they wanted to get their grubby hands on controlling the printing presses in the United States via Federal Reserve in 2011. That was repulsed. The second, maybe Obama was afraid that he was going to get killed. Who knows? I don't know the intricacies because I'm not inside the government. I'm looking at things conceptually.
You want me to tell you my opinion?
Of course.
If you look at the central bank, you look at Deutsche Bank and all these, and what we've seen in the banking where they've basically given a free pass through the discount window through the banks. If they would have signed on to this, they would not have been able to bankroll and bank stop all this with the Federal Reserve, because that's what they've used. They've used the Federal Reserve to backstop all of this underground to even keep this thing going to this point. Deutsche Bank, all the trillions of dollars overnight at the discount window. I don't think they would have been able to do it like they've done. They basically have carte blanche to do that. That's just my thought, anyway.
You know, again, it's in any operation. Okay, it's not black and white. There are a lot of things involved. But again, yes. It could very well be also, you know, that what I said and also what you said might very well be. But the point is, they failed in 2011. And so the second round took place in 2016 when the financiers, the liberal banking financiers, no, the Wall Street operatives, et cetera, they tried to lead their candidate, Clinton, to the White House. And so today, that also failed. We're witnessing the progress, you know, let's say we're into the third round, namely attempts to remove the representative, the alternative group of people, which is the sitting current legitimate president of the United States, Donald Trump, from his post on the cusp of the deflationary stage of the crisis. So what's Trump's game? He's trying to remove the emission mechanism from stimulating the U.S. economy. Now, since the additional issue no longer leads to the growth of the world economy, which is now manifested only in statistical figures, and again, on a piece of paper, you can write whatever you want, whatever it is that you works. But we know the reality has very little to do, you know, the numbers that they draw on the piece of paper, which means that the United States no longer receives additional profit, even from the export of its capital, which is the U.S. dollars. And the chronic deficit in the foreign trade balance creates enormous problems in the domestic market. So the idea of Trump is to reduce this deficit to zero and return production to the United States, and as a result, jobs exported from the country in the previous periods. And again, we can go back to Reaganomics, because for as much as they talk about the vaunted Reaganomics period, if you actually look at the United States economy since 1981, if you take out of the equation all the money that was printed out of thin air, the actual growth of America over the past 40 years is 0%. So what's the problem with Trump's idea? Now, on paper, again, it looks adequate, as it is dramatically reducing the role and also the influence of the financial sector, both in the world economy and also in politics, and on the scale of the United States itself. The trouble is, if you stimulate domestic demand through the financial system, in other words, structural crisis, and a discrepancy between the real income and the household expenses, and the implementation of such a reform will automatically lead to a general decline in living standards, which is no longer determined by the household income, as it always has been, but primarily by the expenses. For example, today, U.S. households spend 25% more money than they earn. And this stimulation occurs through the use of the financial system. So if you write off their debts or force them to pay, then real income will fall further from the current levels, which already, if you look statistically and globally or historically, if you look at the current levels, they correspond in purchasing power to the levels of the end of the 1950s. Translation. Okay, what Americans can buy today with their dollars is at the level of the 1950s. And so the question is, then what? And this is, in fact, the main theoretical error of American economists who are preparing Donald Trump's economic plans. I'm not going to talk about the other side. They have no plan whatsoever other than printing money. Because what the people who work with Trump, they don't see a structural crisis, and they believe that if you simply write off household debts with the collapse of the financial sector, of course, and ensure demand by increasing domestic production with the creation of appropriate jobs, then, in general, the situation with living standards in the United States will not be worse. However, the financial sector will lose its influence. Again, if you take into account the structural problems of the U.S. economy, the upcoming recession and depression will be almost twice as deep as it was in the early 1930s, because then, remember, the structural imbalance was 15%. Now, as I said earlier, it's 25%. And this, of course, will destroy the world's economic system, and we are seeing that right now. In fact, within the framework of the Trump's plan, it is already being destroyed. But so far, the level of destruction is more or less controllable. But in reality, Daniel, the events will develop much more swiftly and much less controllably. So the question is this why the global financiers hate Trump? And again, how is this related to Trump's tug of war of the against the Federal Reserve? Well, this is it.
All right, let me just kind of summarize what you did. I mean, that was very deep what you just said. Let me summarize a couple things, and you clarify me where I'm wrong here. Comparing to the 1930s, comparing to today, our purchasing power, doesn't matter how much we're getting paid, a gallon of milk is costing $6. You know, 2 pounds of meat, like you said, is now $50 or whatever. It doesn't matter how much you're getting paid. Your ability to live and to pay for your family is being cut out from under you. So as the structural problems are being manifest, there's no manufacturing per se as it used to be in this country. There's nothing to support this. As the debt as the debt cycle keeps unwinding, basically the result of this is going to be a lower standard of living where it's all going to be put on the Americans' back and there's going to be nothing left. It's all going to be taken. It's all going to have been stolen from us, per se, by this inflation-deflation system. That's basically what I heard you say.
Yes, absolutely. Now, so let me just very quickly, because again, the question that a lot, because I see the manifested hatred that the entire global apparatus, not only the Democratic Party, but the Republican Party, the, you know, the legislature, the Congress, the Senate, the American people, as a result of mainstream media, you know, nonsense propaganda. So what's the problem? Well, like, why do they hate Trump? They hate him because, you know, he's ugly, because he's a racist, because these are not the reasons. Okay, first, Trump forced the Fed leadership to cut rates. Remember that. He forced because all the institutions of the Western Global Project, in other words, the liberal banking financiers, that are responsible for the theoretical foundation of financial policy, in other words, at the current stage and for the purpose and maintenance of the Bretton Woods system, have been saying for many months that the rates need to be raised. True, they didn't say why, but I will tell you why. The problem is that in recent years, capital has not been reproducing, and thus its profitability is negative. And we see that globally.
Explain that.
And for the Bretton Woods model, Daniels, like any financial model, this is a disaster because it's impossible to allow such a situation to persist for a long time.
Daniels,
since the
Daniels,
printing
pause,
of
Daniels.
Money is finished,
pause.
You,
explain
did you say something?
That. Explain how the capital does not produce anything. It produces zero.
Well, because
less
since
than
the
zero.
Printing of money is finished, there's no way to manage it without the backing of the U.S. administrative authority. Therefore, you need to be careful. Otherwise, you can run into different excesses, such as, for example, the Strauss-Kahn case or the Elliott-Spitzer case. That's another example. It remains to raise the rate above the level of regular annual losses. Otherwise, it makes no sense at all. And this is something that Trump opposes. Why he is against it is also easy to understand, because the ensuing struggle is inevitable. Which struggle? After the collapse of the financial markets, emissions will still have to be made. In other words, you'll still need to print money. And there are two options as far as what to do with the money you print. In other words, you can or support the real sector of the economy, or you support the financial parasitical sector. So in other words, the real sector, these are the people, these are the corporations or the industries that actually produce something and improve the lives of people per square kilometer or mile of space against nature, which is what Trump wants to do. Now you have the financial sector, the parasitical speculators, the bankers. They're not working for anyone other than themselves. And so the dilemma is, the view is Trump and Powell, head of the Fed, in this dilemma. So, and by the way, to make sure that an alternative vision does not penetrate the power circles of the United States, the liberal media is up in arms against Donald Trump because, again, they work for the other side. So Trump's famous slogan, Make America Great Again, it's not racist. Okay, if you understand and translate it correctly, it means let's restore America's independence from international financiers. Okay, so let's go back to the current events. A lower interest rate means that the financial lobby in the United States has lost. It could not regain the mechanism that ensures the reproduction of capital, which means that markets will collapse and the power of this system will fall as well. Question. How quickly will other players understand this? Answer, they already understand this, which means that they recognize that the financial lobby, the global liberal banking financiers, the parasites, the Clintons, the Obamas, the Soroses, etc., can no longer win under any circumstances. And what is more, the restoration of the old Bretton Woods model is a physical impossibility. And this is exactly what Putin said back in June 2019. So what happens next? If you remember, if you go back a few months, a few days after the rate cut in the United States, China devalued the yuan. And this is a fundamental destruction of the entire negotiating environment in which Xi Jinping interacted with Trump in recent months. And many said that they would unconditionally agree because it's mutually beneficial, et cetera, et cetera. They talked about the win-win strategy. All these people in the West who talk about that have no idea what China is. And it makes no sense because the Bretton Woods model itself has no future. It's a dead model. It's a model on its deathbed. because it's based on the concept of limitless growth on a finite planet. We have nowhere to grow on the planet Earth. We have nowhere to steal or no one to steal from, which means that the systemic collapse we're seeing all around us, and you could say it's been exacerbated by COVID, but COVID is an excuse. And in the second part, maybe we can talk about what COVID really is. But the point is that the system is dead. Liberals can't win. And by liberals, I don't mean Democrats. It's an entire global apparatus. Republicans are in the same boat, which means that Biden cannot hope to win this thing. And the people behind Biden understand that. Which is why, again, what we see, the hatred, the violence we're seeing right now, their card, their Trump card, in this sense, is an all-out revolution, which is why you see this extreme violence in America today.
We got about a minute or so before the break. This is massive analysis. I mean,
Daniel. Like, when you really think about this, sorry to interrupt you. It's very simple. I'll explain it in 30 seconds. The global bankers, they sat down and said, look, boys and girls, okay, we can't win this thing. The model is dead. No matter how much money we print, it's not going to reproduce, which means we can't make money on something that's, you know, stagnant and dead. So what do we do now? Because the guy we have, you know, running for president, Joe Biden, even if he wins, he has no model, and the people behind him have no model. Which means that unless we come up with a model, they can't, because the only thing they know how to do is steal, kill, and live at somebody else's expense. And because you can't do that no longer unless you start invading, you know, planets out there and somewhere in the universe, because upon the planet Earth, we reach the limit to growth. The West lived at the expense of the Soviet space between 1991 and 2006. And then 2008, when the crisis came, they called it the subprime, the Lehman Brothers. It wasn't Lehman Brothers. It was the initial stage of today's systemic collapse. And this is the end.
There's the music. You hit it right on time. Stay tuned. More on the other side with Daniel Esselin. DanielEsselin.com is his website. He's got a new book coming out soon. Boy, if you don't listen to Daniel Esselin, you're missing out. DanielEsselin.com, you are listening to the Power Hour. So good to be with you. Stay tuned. Where else would you rather be? We'll be right back.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
If you eat Numana food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high-quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
I hope everybody is back and here to hear Daniel is one of my absolute favorites. My wife's favorite. My wife is listening, she said. And she loves it very much when Daniel comes on. DanielEsselin.com is his website. Of course, thepowermall.com, that's where you can get the great things like the heart drops. This is actually made, the heart drops are actually made in Canada, Daniel. This is a very good product. This is one of the most profound products we've ever had. Of course, Healthy Balance from Mother Earth Minerals, Power Silver, the Nano Silver. Please get it before you're not able to even buy it anymore. Among other things in that, North American Urban Spice, CardioCom, the prostate formula is going to be available next week. These are life-changing things. Your health, your freedom, your family's independence is your responsibility, if you haven't noticed, because all the things that we have trusted, they've let us down. And so that's why this show's here, to give you information, to give you options, and you're welcome for what we do. ThePowerMall.com, ThePowerMall.com, 877-817-9829. Getting back to the one and only Daniel Esselin, let me ask, we get this question a lot with emails.
What I'm listening to what you're saying right now. It's one of the reasons, because, you know, for example, I get every single day, I'd say, if I say 200 interview requests, probably exaggerating, but about 80, 90 at least. And I'm sitting in front of my computer because, you know, initially we're going to do this via Skype, but because I have allergies, I look like a crab right now. So I prefer people not see me. But I'm looking at my, you know, my Gmail, and I'm horrified to think that in 20 minutes when we're done, I'm going to have to start answering some of the 1,284, now 85, now 86 emails that I get every single day. And so, again, one of the reasons I do interviews with you guys is because you're an amazing station. You have amazing, you know, quality and quantity of people who go, you know, who come through, the interviewees and the interviewers, and the content itself. I mean, so I'm very grateful that I have a chance to participate, to offer my knowledge, you know, to the people who are actually listening and giving of their time. Because, again, we are in this together, and we need to create a very strong community because, you know, only through a community of people, like-minded individuals, okay, you united, you know, with the love of their country and humanity in general, because again, you are from the United States, I am from the Soviet Union. We may seem very different. Some may even think, you know, we should be enemies. We're not. We're friends. Because we understand, you know, the basic values and virtues of what humanity represents, the best of humanity, you know, as a fight against evil, which is what we're doing together. So again, I want to thank you for, you know, allowing me to participate in this amazing project, which is the Power Hour.
Oh, that's extremely flattering, Daniel. It's a pleasure. And I think it's very profound what you said, because you don't say things lightly. And what you just thought through, I hope that everybody listening thinks through the extent and the truth of your words. This is an all-out attack on humanity. And our future is going to rely on our ability to relate to each other, to understand one another, to go down to a basic level, and to not get caught up in all the BS and get right to the heart of the matter. And our love for each other, our love for humanity, our love for mankind, our love for creation, for life, for love, all these things, that these become preeminent. And what we have seen is the destruction, is a rape of those things, and a using of this dominion which has been given us and placed in each one of us to use to manipulate us and to use us just as slaves, basically, more or less, in a system. It disgusts me. I hate it. I abhor it. And it's the reason I'm here, and it's the reason I do this show, and it's the reason I love to talk to people like you, Daniel. Love to.
Well, you know, as you were talking, I was kind of thinking to myself, you know, what is it that these people, the elite, they do better than, you know, than us? Well, one of the things is that they're very good at dividing us. And that, you know, on a global scale, and of course to do that, you need to have global control, because that's their main objective. Because again, they have no army, they have no police force, they don't have their own IRS. But what they do is they very effectively control us, and they do this, you know, as a global kind of a mafia. Okay, how do they do this? Well, they give us a big idea. Because people, again, are tired. We're seeing all the stuff going on in America. And globally, you know, this control, disorder, crime, et cetera, et cetera. So they give you options. They say, hey, you know, pick, you want democracy. You know, okay, you want national socialism. No, you want autocracy. And so it doesn't really matter who the prime minister or president is of a country, as long as this global mafia has their control. Now, how do they do this? Via cultural elements, which are two. One, people, they make them hate each other. And again, we don't need to go, you know, beyond the United States to see this absolute hatred, America at war with itself. And number two, they make you hate your country. You have all these people, you know, you have the basketball players, the baseball players, the, I don't know, whatever, volleyball players, you know, the bowling clubs, you know, standing on one knee. Well, I don't know what they play. You know, I don't play
darts,
these things. I have no
billiards.
Idea. But the point is, they have bowling clubs, or maybe they're not called that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to insult anyone. But the point is, they divide you, they make you hate each other, and they make you hate your country, which is why they spit on your flag, they burn your flag, you know, to this wild howls, you know, from these insane individuals. Because again, what you have globally is, you have demonstration, you have lawlessness, you have depression, you have conflict, etc. So what do people want? Tucker Carlson talked about this the other day. What people want? Order. How do you get order? Well, you have dictatorship, you have police state, you have Big Brother, you have Big Daddy, you have social ratings. Okay, so this global disorder to bring humanity closer to global control, under what rubric? Under the rubric of war on terror, war on radicalism, war on COVID, war on whatever it is. And the bureaucratic control mechanism in every country is under the control of the same people, which is why they don't need to have, you know, their global army. They don't each have their global apparatus, you know, IRS apparatus. They control, because it's the ideas that control humanity. And this is how they're doing it. And the objective, again, they sell despair, they sell hopelessness, and it's working, because you have 130 million Americans on antidepressants. Because in Europe last year, in 2019,
what did you just
131
say?
131 million Americans.
God.
Okay, you in Europe, and how about, I'm going to give you another statistic. In 2019, Europeans spend $900 billion on psychiatrists. Now tell me if this is a sign of a healthy society or we have gone totally mad.
I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say at this point. That's such a good point. Where's this all going? Let's break this down. We got about 15 minutes, 20 minutes less left in this deal. Two questions I have for you. One, some Grandma Jones sitting at home listening to this, God bless her. What in the world should she think? What should she do? And two, if you could wave a magic wand, Daniel, how would you proceed from here?
That's a good question. We need to understand, like, because again, if you kind of ask people, so what's happening? Nobody understands. You know, they're going to start talking about Trump.
Well, what is happening? Go ahead. Reader's Digest version.
What you have to understand is the background to everything. We can talk about the economy. We can talk about the end of the model. But all that means what? It means that there is nowhere to go, which means there is no progress. And if you kind of look at society, generally speaking, okay, we advance as we move from one technological paradigm to another. We become more advanced, more efficient, more vital for progress, okay, more techno-oriented as a species. So, for example, okay, if you kind of look at pre-techno-paradigms, that's agriculture, animals, agrarian society. Then the first techno-paradigm, which was the textile industry, we're talking about 300 years ago, okay? And then, as I said, each subsequent techno-paradigm means that society becomes more efficient, more effective, and all this stuff becomes more vital for progress and development. Then the second techno-paradigm, that's about 1825, steam, trains, et cetera, et cetera. Third, this is heavy machinery, large factories. Fourth, which is, you know, the industrial society, oil, cars, you know, precious metals, mass production. And so that ended, okay, back in the 1960s, 1970s. And then the fifth techno-paradigm is, you know, IT industry, electronics, telecommunications, you know, banking institutions, finance,
computers,
et cetera, et cetera.
Personal computers.
Yeah, exactly. So techno-paradigm is not a point when something is invented, like new technology is invented. It rather speaks of dominant technologies at the time when it becomes the basis of new technological advancements. So, for example, again, how does this apply to us if you kind of look at what we're going through right now? It means that we left this fifth techno-paradigm. And now we're going to the sixth. What's the sixth techno-paradigm? It's distance learning, which means elimination of universities as physical spaces. It's robotics. It's artificial intelligence. It's economic structure not dependent on human labor. It's virtual world, which is the world of compatibility. And in fact, if you kind of look at it conceptually, closing of borders is an example of virtual world at work. It's cryptos controlled by government. It's
why?
Well, because again, you stay where you are. So, for example, for you, imagine you have to go somewhere and meet someone for a meeting. You no longer need to do that. You put your virtual reality glasses, and you could, you know, both of you can find yourself in Fiji and the North Pole on the moon while you're sitting in the comfort of your living room. Okay, so this is virtual world. Because globalization is dead. Because globalization is dead, which means that everything becomes localized. And so we're literally coming into a completely different world if we're talking about techno-paradise. Now, what is the difference, for example, if we're talking about, because, you know, like people are actually sending me emails, the difference between post-industrial and trans-industrial economy, a post-industrial world, okay, is what comes after industrialization. So these are the economy of consumption, the economy of services, the economy of experiences. Think of it as a zoo of knowledge, be it of capital, be it knowledge, be it humans, be it reputation. It's a transformation of industrial spaces in cities into recreational areas, which is why it's called the zoo. It's about ecology. It's about nature protection. It's about energy-saving technologies. But because that techno-paradigm is over, because it doesn't make any money anymore, then after the post-industrial comes the sixth technological paradigm, which if you kind of look at when this sixth techno-paradigm starts, It actually starts in 2024. So when Bill Gates and company are talking about this coronavirus thing is going to be with us for another 3 years, well, at 2021 plus three, you get 2024, which is the year when humanity will enter this new sixth techno paradigm or trans-industrial paradigm, which is a world of manufacturing economy based on robotics, based on additive technologies like 3D printing additive, as in you add.
Okay.
You add something to something, it becomes something else. So this is the crisis of banks and financial technologies, and also crisis of the service economy, which means banks will disappear, the financial tech companies will disappear, you know, the rating agencies will disappear, because all it's going to be done through blockchain. It's about the emergence of this planetary forms of capital and the transition from conservation to the rational management of nature.
All right, let me pause you. I'm going to ask you quick questions. I think what you said is extremely important. Don't go, you know, just give me quick answers to these things. I have to get these.
Sure.
Okay. 2024, we're talking about the sixth paradigm, the sixth industrial wave, whatever you want to call it. You're saying things AI, robotics. When I hear that, I say, well, then why do we need 7+ billion people?
That's a good question. You don't. And that's the biggest problem for the global elite right now. They do not know what to do with 7 billion people. They have no answer for that question. And the only thing, the easiest way to get rid of 7 billion people is to start a global third world war. Okay, because this way you can kill 4 or 5 billion people, call it force majeure, eliminate $4 quadrillion, bubble, which is 4 and 15 zeros, and reorganize the world on a much smaller scale. They tried that tag, Daniel, when they killed Soleimani on the 3rd of January 2020. It didn't work. Nobody wanted third world war. Well, why do you think all these billionaires are building $100 million bunkers? Because if you have $100 million, you want to build a bunker and live like a rat? Or you prefer to be in Mexico on the beach looking at a beautiful sunset with a drinky poo in your hand?
Well, you just bring up a good point. You're telling my grandma that's sitting at home listening to this that she should be extremely concerned that this is going to break down. Neuralink. There's tests now. They're running human trials on Neuralink. Elon Musk basically merging your brain with computers. That, again, alludes
brain
to the AI.
Brain-machine interface. I've talked about this in my book on trans-evolution. It's called Trans-Evolution, the Coming Age of Human Deconstruction. In 2013, I talked about this. And people said, this guy is nuts. Well, there we are. In 2020, it's like, you know, been there, done that. We have the T-shirt, you know, the cup, the plate on the wall, and a fridge magnet.
Okay, so I don't know if you ever watched X-Files. Did you ever watch X-Files?
I don't have a TV set.
Okay, well, you're smart. Well, let me tell you about when the X-Files came back, Chris Carter, I think, is pretty aware of a lot of things. His shows show a lot. There's an episode.
Oh, I don't know who Chris Carter is. Is this somebody who works for the station?
Yes, he's the inventor of X, the writer, producer of X-Files. X-Files is a show about conspiracies where people in the FBI investigate all these things and these paranormal and what have you. One of the episodes, one of his contacts contacts him from a computer, and he's trapped in the computer. They have trapped his consciousness in the computer in a Neuralink type thing where he has basically uploaded his essence into a computer. Is this what we're talking about? Are we talking about
the rebrain thing? Yeah, this is the Obama project back from the 2011. Absolutely. Again, you have to understand that they hide things in plain sight, in plain view. Like, for example, if you have a leaf, where are you going to hide it? If you have a grain of sand, are you going to hide it somewhere where people can find it, or are you going to hide it in the desert where it's going to blend in with all the other little grains of sand? They hide things in plain view. Like, for example, 2 weeks ago, Bank of International Settlement, which is a central bank of central banks, they, produced and published their annual report. It's available for download. Anybody can just go and download this thing. It's a 187-page report. And this report talks about exactly what is happening in the world. You know, they're going to get rid of money and they're going to create digital currency. It's right there in black and white. They're telling you what they're going to do.
Okay, I don't want this. I don't want my essence uploaded in a computer. This is a Luciferian agenda where basically my choice, my free will is taken. Right,
which
I don't
is
want
why
this.
We have to win
rather,
this war. But
I'd rather destroy all of it and go back. Let's go back to growing our own carrots. I'd rather go back to that.
That's a very good idea. Now, how do we do that? How do we do that? Because, again, the thing is, and this is, again, one of the reasons they hate Trump. Not because Trump is a great guy, because he's a bad guy, because he sleeps around. I have no idea. I don't care. It makes no difference to me whatsoever. But the thing is that if Trump wins, we can actually sit down, we as the world, you know, sit down beginning in January or February 2021, the great powers at the proverbial round table, Trump, Putin, Xi Jinping, and Modi from India, and start working on a new model. If the Democrats win, the only model that they have is global thermonuclear war. Okay?
Is Trump going to win?
Reorganizing things on a much smaller scale.
Is Trump going to win?
I think he's going to win because, again, the problem is, you see, I think in America what you see right now is extreme prejudice against people who are, you know, pro-Trump. And so, you know, in poll after poll, you see those numbers where Biden's going to win.
That's bullshit. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Those polls are
absolutely
that is ridiculous.
True.
There
absolutely
is not 50%
yes.
of America that supports Joe Biden. I promise.
No, that's absolutely true, which is why, again, most people, you know, they pretend they're insane. They pretend they're going to vote for Joe Biden. But I'm absolutely convinced that majority, because again, you look around, you look at places like California, you look at places like, you know, Seattle or LA or Portland, Oregon or New York City or Baltimore, Chicago, just, you know, and it's endless, Atlanta. And you look at chaos, because again, it's why is there so much chaos? Because it's easier and cheaper to manage chaos than order. So if you can destroy, which is exactly what is being done right now, and blame it on Trump's extreme racism, okay, then you can, you know, through this chaos, these people think they can scare America into voting for Joe Biden because he's allegedly a law and order candidate. But again, Tucker Carlson made a very good point the other day when he talked about, you know, Richard Nixon won the biggest landslide in America's history because people intrinsically want law and order. They don't want chaos. And this is something that I want to bring up. And I think it's important. There's two ways to deal with this. You have the pusillanimous way of dealing with this, and you get L.A., and you get Chicago, and you get Baltimore, and you get Detroit, and you get Seattle, and you get all these other great American cities, which, well, you know, absolutely gutted and destroyed and then burned to the ground. But again, you have to understand that we are witnessing a color revolution in America. You know, we can talk about Soros. It doesn't matter who the guy who signs the check is. Conceptually, we understand what's going on, which is all that matters. Which means that a lot of these people, if not all of them, are getting paid, be it $20, $30, $40, be it, you know, whether they're getting paid in cash or whether they're getting paid by, you know, but in their Bitcoin wallet, it doesn't matter. But these people are looting and doing all this stuff because they get paid. But, so this is one way of doing it. And the police obviously are not doing it because, you know, they've been prevented of all the stuff that's happening in America right now, of actually acting because they're afraid for what's going to happen to them, the consequence. The other way, okay, the other way of doing things is extreme violence, which means that these people who are protesting and burning things down and kicking and killing and doing all this stuff because they can steal for free, okay, nothing will happen to them. But if they start getting shot and killed, and again, you got to do this so that the entire world will see it. Extreme violence means you kill 30, 40,000 of these people. And I know it's hard what I'm saying, but your country is at stake. The survival of the United States is at stake. Because again, these people, they will loot for money, but they will not die for money. Because do you remember, like, way back when I said to you, you know, in one of the programs, I said, there's two things we have to understand. You know, in the name of what do we live? In the name of what are we prepared to die? We, as in the people in the Soviet Union, we saved the world in World War II because we were willing to die, you know, for our motherland. In America, these people who are looting and stealing, whether we're talking about Antifa or we're talking about Black Lives Matter, it doesn't matter. These people are stealing because they get paid. They're destroying because they get paid. But they will not die or put their life on the line for money because they have no principles or values. which means that extreme violence. And again, go back to what happened. You know, Catherine Austin Fitch is a good friend of mine. I love her. She's an amazing economist, an amazing human being. But she took issue with the fact that, you know, I think last year it was, I don't remember when, I said that, you know, what America needs is a dictatorship, father dictator figure. And this is exactly what America needs right now. Somebody who's going to stand up and say, this is it. You will not steal or kill or destroy communities again.
Right,
and you need to kill 30, 40, 50.
Huh? Let me interject what you said about it. We only got about 2 minutes, not even. Catherine, I think I'd land in between both of you two. And what I would say, we don't necessarily need a dictator. And we don't necessarily, what Catherine's saying, I think we need to unleash the people. We need those 17-year-old like Kyle Rittenhouse's on the street with his ARs. If you're going to come to our town, we're going to blow your damn head off.
17-year-old can't do this. You need the strength of the armed forces to come in and actually say, we will kill you to save our country.
I don't think so. Daniel, I don't think so. In these towns where the militia stands up, where the people stands up in their towns, and we're going to stand for morality, and we're going to stand with the force of our mankind, our community, they got guns. They are, Americans are armed.
That's true, but that means what we're going towards is the division of the United States into two countries. Because you have states where you have militia, and you have states that you don't.
Maybe it needs to, Daniel. I mean, are we going to support Thomas Jefferson, or are we going to support Mao Zedong? Which one?
Daniel, there is no time to do that right now. And because there is no time, that's one of the reasons why, again, I talked about this 2 years ago. I said America is going to be, you know, in throes of the Civil War 2 years later, and here we are. I've been talking about this for many, many years.
We got about 1 minute, not even 30 seconds. How bad is this going to get? What, next 3 months?
It's going to get bad because, you know, Clinton the other day told Joe Biden not to accept the results because they know their internal figures, they understand that Biden can't win this thing. The strategy, because Biden has dementia. You can't put him up against Donald Trump. He will destroy him. He'll be like Mike Tyson fighting against a three-year-old. Which means they're going to keep him in the basement. And Pelosi said yesterday, we don't need these things. We don't need the debates. Of course they don't. A guy who, you know, who kisses his sister and thinking that's his wife has some serious mental issues.
They're going
to go into an all-out war, which means the Republicans have to be ready for serious civil war in America. Real civil war.
Stay there, Daniel. Stay there. Ladies and gentlemen, we want you happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you. It's all on the line right now. Why are you alive, and for what will you give that life? Or what will you live for? Let's talk about that. Love you. God bless. See you next week. Daniel, stay right there.
Righteous Son, He is Yahweh. The three in one, He is Yahweh.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiobiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is...